And joining me in the KRBS studios this afternoon is Luann Greenwald. She is the new director of the Paul and Lulu Hilliard University Art Museum. And we're very happy to welcome you into our studios. We feel like we're a conduit to help arts organizations, cultural organizations get their message out. And so we're very glad to have you here. You're one of the museum is one of the premier arts and culture organizations on campus. So we're glad to have you with us. You just started at the beginning of July, so you've only been on the job about 3 weeks now.
That's right, mm-hmm. Judith. And thanks so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here. But yeah, I started July 1st and am very much in the thick of figuring things out. And I think we've got a museum with so much potential. I'm really looking forward to working on programs for this fall and ongoing.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And so I thought just to introduce our audience to you, to kind of go back and talk about your background, what you studied and how you got to this point where you arrived in Lafayette. So what did you study?
Sure. I trained as an artist. Mm-hmm. I did my undergraduate work at Kent State University in Northeast Ohio, where I grew up. And I moved west at the age of 25. I wanted to explore Los Angeles and go to graduate school there. So I got my master's in fine arts at USC and then went into work for nonprofit organizations, primarily in arts and culture-related fields. And I worked for the Mack Center for Art and Architecture for 7 years, and that was a wonderful experience. The center is housed in a historic landmark home, so not unlike what we have in the A. Hayes Town Building at the museum. And our programming focused on contemporary art and architecture, and we had an international residency program for visiting artists and architects, which really fed the cultural dialogue at our center.
So you studied fine arts. You must have done some art yourself, painting, sculpture. But you were interested in going into nonprofit work, into working with museums. How did that develop?
Well, every artist needs to support themselves somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really primarily by mm-hmm. necessity. But I found it equally creatively fulfilling as I do my own art practice. And I do practice primarily sculpture. I'm somebody who likes to work with materials and put things together. So I still do have an artistic practice, although right now my primary focus is my new job,
yes,
of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, what was it that you particularly enjoyed once you did take that practical step of working for a nonprofit? What did you enjoy about that work and working in the world of museums and galleries?
Well, you know, working in nonprofit, I just find to be so fulfilling because you're addressing social needs. So it's not just a job that makes money for you, mm-hmm. but also that helps to change the world in a very positive way. So I've always really appreciated that aspect of the work. And working in museums and art galleries, you know, working with artists is so inspiring. I find that artists can show you a world that you haven't seen before, make you think about something in a different way. And it just really expands the horizons, and mm-hmm. I really enjoy that aspect.
Well, give us an example of a project that you worked in at the Mack Center, that first job you had, of a project that really touched you and that embodies that idea you just expressed.
Gosh, there were so many. One of the exhibitions that I really enjoyed was an exhibition that was kind of honoring the legacy of the architect R.M. Schindler. And we worked with, oh gosh, maybe 20 artists and unfolded an exhibition program over the course of about 6 months. So there were installations within our galleries within the historic home. And then there were installations out in public space as well. So some artists designed billboards, for example, that dotted the city. And you know, unusual responses to Schindler's work. There was a sound artist who spent a night in the historic home recording the sounds that he heard and created an alternative piece of music out of that. So some really wonderful interpretive pieces, you know, all in honor of R.M. Schindler, which was really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember what people's responses were to this multi-platformed project?
Yeah, you know, it was wonderful. And it was really, I can't say necessarily a citywide thing, but a multicultural institution project. So there were several other museums that were doing exhibitions related to Schindler's work. So it really kind of created a nice energy within the community. And we had phenomenal visitation records. And, you know, people, I think, really enjoyed getting a new perspective on Schindler's work and thinking about it in the context of mid-century modernism, and also just thinking about how radical that work was for the 1920s when that house was built.
Well, what an amazing opportunity you had right after graduate school to work with that kind of an organization and to be involved in projects like that.
Yeah, it really was. And such a great way to connect to a broader community, you know, mm-hmm. because people come in for the exhibitions and the public programs, and you're in a wonderful environment, physically a beautiful space, and experiencing something new together. And that's always really great for community building and very fulfilling.
Absolutely. Well, tell us about some of the other organizations you worked with, perhaps maybe starting off with some of the art organizations, museums, or other art spaces that you've worked with.
Sure. Well, I've gone back and forth in my career between programming and fundraising. And after my work at the Max Center, I went back to USC where I'd done my master's in fine arts. And I was the director of development for the Roski School of Fine Arts, which I had graduated from. And, you know, university settings are a great place to learn about fundraising. It's a great place to learn about a lot of things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I had a great experience learning about fundraising there. And it was a very exciting time because I was there when the school received a $23 million naming gift that really transformed the school and its programs.
And so you saw the power of that kind of gift and what that can do to an educational organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I have to say, working in the philanthropic realm is a very inspiring experience as well. You know, when you meet people who have a passion and want to make a difference and have the capacity to do that, it's really wonderful to be a part of it, mm-hmm. to help make those dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. So you found yourself moving between those two worlds, the more purely artistic in a museum or an arts organization, and then the fundraising. And did you find that personally that was something that felt very satisfying, keeping yourself involved in the art world and yet learning those very practical skills of fundraising?
Yeah, I suppose I'm sort of both right brain and left mm-hmm. brain, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I find it stimulating, you know, to go sort of back and forth from one aspect to another. But the exciting thing for me now about being here at the Hilliard Museum is that my role kind of embodies all of that. So I'm
you don't
able
have
to
be split.
Exactly. No more split personality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm able to be involved in exhibitions and public programs and community outreach and working with donors to make all of it possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about some of your artistic interests that you've developed along the way. You talked about the Max Center, which tended to be more contemporary, mid-century art. What are some other artistic interests you have?
Well, a lot, actually. I studied classical piano for a number of years. I'm not very good, but I do enjoy that very much. I also, my museum background also includes working for a natural history museum. I worked at the Los Angeles County Natural History Museum and was the director of public programs and exhibits there. And, of course, their collection is very different. It was 27 million objects from, you know, the tiniest of gems to the largest of dinosaur skeletons. Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating as well. History is another interest of mine. You know, I love learning about a region's history and, you know, how a community has evolved. Yeah.
Well, you've got a treat ahead of you here then.
Yes, I know. I know. So many of my conversations with the community have been around the history of this place and the families that founded it. And yeah, so mm-hmm. I'm intrigued.
I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guest is Luann Greenwald. She's the new director at the Paul and Lulu Hilliard University Art Museum, just started at the beginning of July. And so we wanted to have her on here at KRVS to introduce her to all of our listeners and talk about her background and what her hopes and vision for the museum are. So what did you know about Louisiana when you first answered the ad?
Not much. I had actually come to New Orleans for my senior class trip in high school, mm-hmm. And I was here for a week with, you know, 80 of my fellow students.
And I'm sure you were in the museums the whole time there.
Not exactly. It was a different kind of field mm-hmm. trip. but that was actually my first and only visit to Louisiana until I came in March to interview for the position. And I have to say, I'm so intrigued with the landscape, and the swamps, I think, are wonderful, surreal environments. I really I'm enjoying that.
Did you expect that? Did you have expectations before you came?
I didn't. You know, it's a landscape I'm not familiar with. But just as I found the desert so intriguing in Southern California, I think the swamps are equally intriguing, a different kind of beauty.
Right. And I guess we should tell people that you were talking about your work over on the West Coast, but you most recently, I believe, came from the East Coast.
That's right.
Working in Washington, D.C. So now you're down on the low coast and experiencing all three coasts.
Right. Yeah. So I'm covering the four quadrants
of
our country.
Well, and so when you came for the interview here, what was your response to the place?
You know, I in preparing for the interview, I did a lot of reading, and I was really struck by the diverse cultural community and its rich history. And, you know, immediately I thought, wow, you could do a lot of really interesting programming around that alone, you know. And, of course, the Hilliard Museum is a state-of-the-art facility, just beautiful galleries, wonderful exhibition space, and so much potential there. And being juxtaposed with the A. Hayes Town building, a 1967 replica of a plantation-style home, you have the old and the new, you know, which is a dialogue in itself. So I just really felt like there was so much potential here. And it seems like the university, like UL, is really up and coming. And, you know, there's so much work going on campus to fix things up. And the students here were really very friendly, and everybody was really friendly, you know. So I thought, this seems like a really good community to come to.
So you could feel a real energy here on campus and among the student body. Well, for those of our listeners who have not yet been to the Hilliard, we're always encouraging them to go. Describe that. You mentioned the two buildings, but describe it as someone who's worked in the art world. Describe your impression of the spaces.
Oh, sure. So the building was built 10 years ago. And again, in contrast to the historic townhouse, it's a, you know, large steel and glass building. And you see the reflection of the townhouse in the glass of the building. And when you come in, we have a fantastic gift shop that's well-loved in the community. And we carry the work of local artists, as well as books and children's toys. So it's a really great place to shop. And then we have three galleries, and we always do three new exhibitions in the spring, in the summer, and in the fall. And right now we're showing the work of a show called 20th Century Masters. And so it's a broad range of artists working on paper, so prints, drawings, paintings, and artists from Andy Warhol to Dale Chihuly. So something, you know, artworks that people will recognize the artist names. And that's a really wonderful show. And then we have a second exhibition on the work of George Dunbar, who's a New Orleans-based artist. And George creates these beautiful paintings on clay, a technique I had never seen before. So those are really quite wonderful. And then interestingly, that's juxtaposed with the third exhibition on Shearwater pottery by the Anderson family from Mississippi. And that's a more traditional use of clay, so clay vessels and figurines, but another really wonderful exhibition.
Much beloved in this area, the Shearwater pottery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I can see why.
Mm-hmm. And the exhibit spaces, we've heard from people who come from elsewhere, they're very impressed by the quality of the space and the lighting, and just the spaces themselves are so lovely. Mm. So we've become quite proud of that space.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to say, I'm thrilled to walk into my office every morning. I have an amazing view out my window of the townhouse and the park adjacent.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the museum. Obviously, you walked into exhibits that are already there, and how wonderful, as someone who's worked in the art world, to walk in and have all these wonderful pieces hanging on the walls and in the exhibit space. But let's talk about what you envision for the museum, its place on campus, its place in the community. Obviously, it has the exhibit spaces, and we will continue to be able to go to the museum and see things hanging on the walls. But how do you see the museum's place in the future?
Sure. You know, I think we do wonderful exhibitions, and we really want to create more public programming around those exhibits to draw in both people, our students on the university campus, as well as the community outside in Lafayette. I really want to have a diverse range of programs, so it gives people an opportunity to enter into the exhibit on many different levels. I think also, you know, Lafayette is such a culturally rich community, and every weekend there's something going on. So I'm also interested in this idea of taking the museum out into the community, sort of exporting our culture, if you will. So I think, you know, we can think about, you know, hosting performances or, you know, having a presence at festivals and that sort of thing. So I really want to see a lot more community engagement there. And, you know, the Ahaze Town Building is a beautiful space inside as well, and it's a wonderful event space. So, you know, we'd like to use that for our own programming, but we also want to get the word out there that, you know, if you're looking for a special venue for your event, for your holiday party, for your wedding, whatever, that's available. So, and it's a wonderful way to support the museum as well.
I think people are often curious about the relationship between that building and the much more contemporary main building, and often wonder in passing, you know, well, are there paintings hanging in there? How do they use that space? And I think it's a bit of a mystery for some people.
Yeah, we have done some exhibitions in there, and, you know, people have rented it for their events. And, you know, it's modeled after a plantation-style home, so it has, you know, a fireplace. Place and I think there's wainscoting, and you know, it's beautiful interior and very unique. You know, there's nothing else like it in Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you say you'd like to encourage more community engagement, you were describing a project that you had been involved with at the Mack Center in California. Well, what are some other, to describe for people different ways that people in other communities are engaged with their museums?
Yeah, you know, I mean, museums, I think, are really evolving. There's been a lot of change. One might have used to think about museums as sort of storehouses for collections, and they're really... there's so much more than that these days. They really are centers for community engagement. And, you know, I think one thing we'd like to make happen at the Hilliard Museum is to have, for example, some kind of cafe or somewhere where you can have a bite to eat and sit down and really, you know, reflect on the work you just saw in the galleries, you know, take a break. So we really want to create a kind of sitting area for people. You know, museums today are doing programs not just on visual art, but on performing arts and on politics and on, you know, food culture and, you know, really taking a very expansive view at what culture is and how that defines us. So when I talk about diversifying our programming, I'm thinking along those lines as well. And, you know, I was reading about a museum in Tulsa that recently planted a community garden, which I think is a great idea. And, you know, you could create a garden on the grounds of the Hilliard Museum and harvest from it, and on Saturdays have family workshops with a chef who talks about how to, you know, make a unique salad or, you know, use herbs and spices or something.
You just caught the attention of a huge swath of our community by saying that. That's, and you may have noticed in the past month, that's extremely important here in our community.
Yes.
Now, sustainable gardening, gardening within the city. We have lots of farmers markets. People are very interested in that subject. And if you could work that all in with art, that would be something.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
So, yeah, absolutely. I think that that would really touch people around here. But it sounds like you are very interested in that idea of being cued into your community, not imposing something on them, but understanding where they are and how to reach out to them.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's definitely part of my learning process since I arrived, is really getting to know the city and what's important here and what do people value and how do they enjoy spending their free time. And so, you know, I'm still in the learning process of that and really enjoy hearing from people, their feedback and their perceptions of the museum and how we might be of service. And I think there are lots and lots of opportunities out there. So I look forward to exploring that.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those people who don't know much about the holdings of the museum, that's also a curiosity to some people. They may not know. Could you describe that? What is the permanent collection of the museum like?
Sure. We have a couple of aspects to our collection. We have a collection of 18th and 19th century American and European painting. We have a wonderful folk art collection, a small collection of Japanese prints, a small collection of Egyptian works, So it's a little bit of a hodgepodge, but something that we're constantly growing and cultivating. And right now at the museum, we have a small exhibition of portrait painting from our permanent collection. So, you know, a lot of surprises within the collection that we like to highlight from time to time. And, you know, you'll see that on an ongoing basis at the museum as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans for expanding the permanent collection? How do you propose to go forward with that?
Well, always. you know, right now we're really focused on our exhibition program, exhibition and public program and education program schedule. But we're always, you know, thinking about the collection and how we might be able to expand it. And most of the collection has come to us through very generous donations, which has been wonderful. So we encourage that for people who have collections of art that are a nice match for our collection. We love to hear about that and would, you know, happily consider donations.
Mm-hmm. And how do you look forward to interacting? We've talked about some of the ways you hope to interact with the community out in the community. People have gotten used to sort of the openings before a new set of exhibits open up. Do you hope to continue that?
Sure. Mm-hmm, yeah, that's sort of a typical model for museums, and it's just a great way to celebrate a new exhibition and, you know, bring people in to see the art, and also to celebrate it with their own community. It's a social event as much as it is a learning event. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll continue that. We developed in recent years the Hilliard Society, which is our high-level membership program, and the Hilliard Society members have been really important supporters and contributors to the museum. So, you know, they're usually at our opening events and yeah, but we really embrace the whole community's participation. So,
mm-hmm. Well, in addition to the fact that when you arrive, there were already exhibits in place, I know that museums are always several months ahead, you know, in their schedule.
If not years.
So I'm sure there were some exhibits already in the works before you got here. What can we look forward to in the next few months after these exhibits?
Sure. Well, on September 19th, it'll be a Friday evening opening. We'll be opening three new exhibitions for the fall. And the first one is called Finding Freedom. And it's an exhibition of the work of Soviet artists in the Cold War years and really reflects the kind of nonconformist activity that was taking place art at that time, in Soviet art at that time. That's going to be accompanied by a second exhibition called Through Soviet Jewish Eyes, and it's an exhibition of photojournalism from World War II by Soviet photojournalists documenting the Nazi atrocities. Very powerful photographs, and you know, I think powerful to see that work in this time when we are at war again. Mm-hmm. The third exhibition will be an exhibition of Henry Botkin's work, and this is an exhibition from our permanent collection. Henry was a New York-based artist. His cousins were the Gershwin brothers, and that was good, fortuitous for his career.
Mm-hmm. How did we end up with pieces in our...
You know, this was, again, another donation that was given to the museum several years ago, and it's really wonderful. Henry, in the early part of his career, was sort of a post-impressionist painter, you know, painted in that style. And then he himself, you might say, found freedom and turned to abstraction and some beautiful sort of collage-style paintings in the second half of his career. So in the fall, we'll show the early works from his career, and then in the spring, we'll do an exhibition of the more abstract works.
So a lot of great artwork to look forward to in the coming year.
Yes.
Again, if you have just tuned in, my guest is the new director at the Paul and Lulu Hilliard University Art Museum, Luann Greenwald, and we wanted to bring her in and introduce her to our listeners. Well, Luann, have you had the opportunity? We have a grand tradition of visual artists in our community as well, many coming out of the university over decades now, coming out of the 60s. Professors who are very well-known artists, and they've just engendered generations of artists. Have you had the opportunity to meet and see the work of local artists?
A little bit. I've gone to the couple of art walks since I've been here, and you know, gotten to meet some of the artists and to see some wonderful work. in June at the Art Walk, I was really struck by the work of Fred Daspit, of course, who passed away recently.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we have a piece of his work in the collection that's on view at the museum right now. But really wonderful work, and somebody who really had quite an impact on the early founding of our museum. One of our UL faculty, John Hathorn, is a wonderful painter, and he's on our museum board. So it's been wonderful getting to know him and to see his work as well.
He just recently had a solo exhibit this past year at the Acadiana Center for the Arts in the gallery there.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was at the ACA opening at the last Art Walk, and a New Orleans-based artist.
Dawn Dito.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. She was showing there. So that was a wonderful exhibition, too. So, yeah, it really seems like there are just so many great resources here. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to meeting more of the artist community and getting more integrated.
Mm-hmm. Do you hope to, and obviously we have ties with artists from New Orleans, you mentioned George Dunbar, do you hope to establish more ties within the state in that way, perhaps making more connections with the art world in New Orleans?
Sure. And I think even beyond the state, I think, you know, it's interesting to think about a kind of southern trajectory, a cultural corridor that, you know, might go as far as from the West Coast through Phoenix, through Houston, you know, maybe en route to Jacksonville, Florida or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, in terms of traveling exhibitions, there's probably opportunities to form relationships with these adjacent cities and share exhibitions and be able to export some of our Louisiana culture too, you know.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of great opportunities you see in the future.
Oh, yeah.
So describe the, I think people are not always, another thing they find mysterious about the university art museum are the staff who works at the museum. You know, if we go to an exhibit, we see a couple of the guards standing around. You know, we don't really know much about the structure of the museum.
The behind the scenes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're a lean staff. We're mm-hmm. a lean, mean machine, you might say.
As we all are now in yes. times of need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're a staff of six full-time staff members. Myself, our curator, Dr. Lee Gray, who I think has been on your program before. Mm-hmm. We have a gift shop manager, Cindy Hamilton, a preparator, Carrie Fry, our registrar is Ramona East, and I'm forgetting. Oh, Hugo Boutte, who does our security. So we've got a good crew, and they've been at the museum for a while, and they know how to operate it. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a number of volunteers who work with the museum as well?
We do, yeah, thanks. We have quite a few active volunteers who help us with security and with running the gift shop. We also have student workers who are indispensable in helping us facilitate all of our events and so forth. So, yeah, it takes a village to run a museum.
And how do you imagine your vision for volunteers at the museum? Do you imagine a greater role for them as you talk about more interaction in the community? What is your vision of volunteers at the museum?
Yeah, you know, I think as we start to think about taking the museum out into the community and sort of exporting the museum, we're going to need a lot of volunteers mm-hmm, to help us mm-hmm. with that. And so, you know, that's an active role that people could sign up for.
Mm-hmm,
and it's
mm-hmm.
fun, you know, it's great when you can go out to a festival and have an active role in promoting something. That's a lot of fun. And, you know, I think also within our galleries, we've recently been talking about, you know, our educational role and the best way to help facilitate people's experience of viewing the art and learning the art and talking about the art. And I think our docents can play an important role in that. So, you know, we're looking at sort of initiating some training programs and really engaging them in conversations with our guests to talk about art and share perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll look forward to those opportunities as well.
Okay.
And I'm sure I've always been curious, if you're the director of an art museum, do you get to, like, choose what art goes on your walls? Do you get to go in the permanent collection and say, I would like that in my office?
I do.
You
and
do.
That's the funnest thing.
So what have you chosen?
Actually, just today, I chose a pretty large-scale painting. It's sort of formalist abstraction. And, oh, my gosh, Edward. I'm sorry.
The local artist?
Actually, he's an artist from Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm.
It'll come to you.
And then another painting by Laura Dote. I might badger this name. I think that's the name, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and actually they were installing it as I left. So I think when I get back, it'll be on the wall.
Art.
I'm very excited. And then a beautiful little piece of folk art for a shelf in my office that is very special and kind of highlights that aspect of our collection.
Well, another great way to show off that collection as well, periodically getting to change the artwork in your office.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a great way to experience the art too, mm-hmm. you know, to have mm-hmm. that around you every day. And to look at it every day, and, mm-hmm. and it's an interesting experience to live with art, too, mm-hmm. you know.
I was thinking also that to get a new job at a gallery, particularly a museum that has a permanent collection, must be like a candy store to you to open that door into the permanent collection and go in there and see what's there.
It is. It's, yeah, I used to fantasize about that. Now I really get to do it.
I think there's a young people's book about, you know, spending the night in the or several days actually in a museum and living there. So I'm sure that's the dream of a lot of people. Now, you mentioned that you are you studied piano as well. Mm. Are you hoping to make music a part of the offerings at the museum as well?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be such mm-hmm. a rich part of the culture here. I think it really makes a lot of sense. I recently learned about a museum program at another university where there was a collaboration between the museum and the School of Music, and students of composition were invited to come into the museum, study a piece, and create a composition, and then play it. And I think that that's a really wonderful model. It's a wonderful model for collaboration and just a wonderful experience, you know, to have the visual experience of, you know, an actual object in space accompanied by an ephemeral experience of music that, you know, is temporal and only lasts for that moment, but it's one unique moment that you can experience in the museum. So I'm really intrigued by that idea and would like to explore that as well.
Well, and engaging another part of the university and collaborating and using the talent of the students.
That's right, yeah, mm-hmm. or even a possible collaboration with the symphony here. So, yeah. Yeah, we really would like to explore those sorts of collaborations with other community organizations.
You might have several phone calls at your office after this.
Oh, I hope so.
Speaking of those collaborations, Luann's number is. Again, my guest, Luann Greenwald, the new director of the Paul and Lulu Hilliard University Art Museum, just beginning her job about 3 weeks ago or so, and lots of exhibits, of course, currently on display, and she's talking about new exhibits that will open up in the coming year and her vision for the museum. I know that you also have a board for the museum. They must be of great help in this time, in this transition.
They are, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a really great advisory board that there are a number of representatives from the university as well as the community, and they've been great advisors and supporters of the museum, and they'll be really important advisors and supporters for me, too.
Yes. Should anyone be interested in opportunities for being on the board, you know, working with the museum in a greater capacity, are you the best contact, or are there other people at the...
Sure, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. People could get in touch with me. There are lots of opportunities mm-hmm. to get involved from, you know, volunteering, being a docent, helping us out in the gift shop or at community events, serving on the board, helping with fundraising will be another big need. So, you know, lots and lots of opportunities. And, you know, we're a fun bunch and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and beautiful facility. So it's really a nice place to come and help out.
That's right. And, of course, as you mentioned, fundraising is one of your loves, one part of your brain. So that will be also a big part of your job as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have a plan for that in the coming year?
I'm developing
You're
that
developing
plan right
that
now.
One, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no, I mean, we've been blessed. You know, we've had great support from the Hilliards and a number of other donors who helped us build the building in the first place. Mm-hmm. And we have a great active core group of members who have been ongoing supporters, and their support is really important for us as well. And we need to grow that group, you know, and I think that the more we start to do active programming and people start to come to the museum more frequently and really understand that it's their museum, I think we can grow that base of members as well.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that over the coming year as you settle in more and learn more about that permanent collection and our community as well. Again, Luann Greenwald is the new director of the Paul and Lulu Hilliard University Art Museum. For more information about the museum, you can visit the website, which is actually quite user-friendly and lots of information there. And I know we know it as museum.louisiana.edu. Is there another you can...
HilliardMuseum.org also
HilliardMuseum.org. You can stop there for information about the exhibits, times of the exhibits, when the museum is open, and any other questions you may have about the museum. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to having you back here in our studios to talk about upcoming exhibits and new plans to interact with the community over the coming years. Thank
Super
you so much.
I'd like that. Thanks, Judith.